Festival.
It's 1 o'clock and time for the services from the Calvary Baptist Church of Gainesville. Now, Pastor Raymond Laddie.
I want to look today at a little bit different angle on a New Year's sermon. Of course, we always think about the New Year. And has anybody here made a resolution yet? I think most people kind of like, you know, things are have been rough. Why even worry about it? But, you know, traditionally it's been to lose weight or to get out of debt or, you know, to better ourselves in some way. Now, different cultures have different New Year's practices. I grew up with, you know, if you eat collard greens and black-eyed peas, that's dollars and cents. And I can't eat collard greens anymore because of a blood disorder, but I can't tell the difference, to be honest with you. So we'll keep doing that. And each culture has its, you know, its traditions and all. That goes way back. But we operate on a Western calendar, you know, the Gregorian calendar, and we set our New Year's up on January the 1st. And, you know, they go and come, and a lot of people, when they do make a resolution, it'll last till about the 15th or 20th of January, and then they don't remember what resolution they made. So, but we're going to look at some resolutions that overshadow them all, that we find in the Jewish New Year, known as Nisan. Now, if you drive a Nissan, this sermon is not about you or for you. Two different things, okay? This is the name of the first month of the Jewish calendar called Nisan. And in their culture and in God's calendar that he set up for them, we will find some unique things. We can always go from the Gentile side of things, I would say, to the Jewish side of things and get even more insightful living advice, and it brings into clearer focus what God has done through Jesus Christ. And that's the key to it. Not that we celebrate Jewish festivals. I'm not Jewish. I'm about as far away from being Jewish as I can be, yet their story is my redemption. The plan God had to establish them and to choose them as a nation and as the nation and the people that he would send in a Messiah means everything to me. So that's how I look at it. And when I look at their New Year, and if I go to the Passover and I look at all the festivals they have, they all scream Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But they're the very people many times that deny that. They deny that, and that costs them to this very day, although God has a plan in Christ to give them that last chance of redemption, and many, many, many of them will come to know Jesus. But today we're in Exodus chapter 12. We're going to start off, and we're going to start off with the new year. What insights can that would be January to them, January the 1st, Nisan the 1st, which for them begins in the spring. Their new year is typically in the spring. Ours is right in the middle of the winter, at the beginning of the winter, but they all have an application to us as Christians and the resolutions or the changes or the commitments that we need to make to God. Now, most New Year's resolutions are very worldly. They're very, there's nothing wrong with making changes in our life physically to do better. Financially to do better. Those are great things, but they all flow out of a spiritual relationship with God, or at least they should. So that's the application that we'll make today. But, you know, for most people in Western culture and in postmodern America today, the New Year's a time, an excuse to get drunk. The New Year's an excuse to, as my granddaddy used to say, act the fool and, you know, do this, that, or the other, and make it something that God would not have us to use it for. And that's where we'll pick up in the scriptures today. So this is about the time that God was going to lead out the slaves who were Hebrews out of Egypt. This was the time of their exodus. And if you exit, you're leaving. You're going from one thing to the other. So the exodus gives the account of what God did to miraculously release them from the clutches of the most powerful empire of the world, the Egyptians and the Pharaohs at this time, and how that began their calendar. Now, keep something in mind. Most New Year's or calendars revolve around the agricultural cycle. And for us today, we're not an agricultural society anymore for the most part, so it doesn't make as much sense, but it revolved around harvest, and it revolved around planting time, and it revolved around, you know, the different phases of the moon. God used all of that, but with the Jewish people, it all revolved around redemption. It all revolved around their redemption and what would flow out of their redemption in Christ as an offering of redemption for the whole world in Jesus. Their calendar is unique because it shows God's plan of redemption. That's why the world is against them. That's why the UN hates them. That's why the World Health Organization despises them. That's why 95% of the world's population hates them. They may not realize why, but it's a spiritual battle between good and evil, between Satan's plan and God's plan, between rebellion and redemption. That's what all this is as it trickles down into the physical world. So the Lord told Moses in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he said this to Moses and Aaron, the high priest, in the land of Egypt, saying, and this is kind of where it really began from then. We can go back to Jacob and Joseph and Abraham, and God said, I will make a great nation out of you. But here's where it really began to come together. Them being enslaved, and there being millions of them, them being enslaved and beginning to prosper, even in captivity. Pharaoh did all he could to curb their birth rates. But the Hebrew women were very, very committed. They were very fertile, and they kept having babies and baby boys. And these would be the ancestors of Jesus. So Pharaoh did all he could to thwart God's purposes in Egypt. And God was still ahead of it. So he told Moses and Aaron, this month, which would come to be called Nisan, God had it named it at this point of the scripture, shall be unto you the beginning of months. So that would be January for us. And it shall be the first month of the year to you. And he's saying the first day of the first month, this is where I want you to mark this time and to see how I'm working. So he goes on down to verse 3 and says, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. So God is saying, this is the first thing you do on the first month that I'm establishing. On the first day and the first moments, you prepare for Exodus. You prepare for what I am going to do. You prepare, and I'll give you a way to overcome or to be protected from my judgment. And this is the application for us today. The first thing that we should do when the clock strikes midnight or on the morning of January 1st, or even better today in the last few days of 2024, is to prepare for our exodus. Because our story is an exodus too. You're going to exit one of two ways. You're going to exit through the rapture. If Jesus returns, you'll never have to die a physical death. Or you're going to exit this world through death. I can guarantee you 110% that one of those two things are going to happen in your life. You're either going to exit physically into the spiritual world, or you're going to do that through death, a physical death that leads to a spiritual existence, either in heaven or in hell, or you're going to be called up when the trumpet sounds and Jesus returns to live with him forever. You're going to leave the physical and you're going to enter the spiritual. You are in the process of Exodus here today. Whether you are 5 months old or you are 95 years old, you are in the process of Exodus. And if that's the case, as we see in these scriptures, God is saying to prepare. So the first thing that I would do for the year 2025 is make sure that I am ready to meet Jesus. Make sure that I am ready to exit this place into a far better one. Because if I'm not ready for that type of exodus, I'm going to exit stage left right into the kingdom and the reality and the horror of hell. There are people that are going to go to hell in the next seconds, in the next moments. It's a sobering thing to me. And we make light of it and laugh about it, and you know, in the movies, they'll say, well, I'll see you in hell and all this other kind of stuff. If they had any clue, if they could experience a nanosecond of hell, They would run to the nearest altar. They would fall on their knees wherever they're at, and they would accept Jesus as their Savior, and they would thank Him and praise Him and thank Him that they could escape it. That's the reality of it. So we're all in a process of exodus. God's saying, I'm getting ready to lead you out of here, is what He's telling them. And this is what you're going to do because I am going to judge the world. He's saying, I am coming against Pharaoh. And I'm going to show them who the boss is. I'm going to show them that earthly kingdoms do not last and that earthly rulers do not overcome God in His way. And then we enter the time of the Passover. In verse 3, you go get a lamb. He gives them the details and the instructions, and He said, you do this quickly. You go get a lamb. Keep in mind the first month of the first day, the first day of the first month, I should say. You go get a lamb and a lamb for the house, an actual baby sheep, a lamb. And if the house is too little for this lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. He says, go get a lamb. If it ain't got room for it, might work out an agreement with your neighbor based on the number of people in your house. He's telling this to the leader of the household. You go get a lamb, because if you don't, you are damning your family. If you don't, they will not escape this Passover of the death angel. This man had a great responsibility, as do all dads and all fathers and all men. Whether you're a father or a dad or what, you have a great responsibility spiritually, not only to your family, but to your community and to your church. And we'll get to that in here in just a little bit. You find a lamb, he says in verse 5, that is without blemish. Again, this is Exodus chapter 12, if you want to make some notes or mark this scripture for further study. You find a lamb without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Wherever you can find it, get it, bring it out. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Right here begins a process of their great faith walk with God. And they were just like we are. They were on the mountain faithful. They were in the valley unfaithful. They were found lazy. They were found temporal. They were found, sensual. They were found in so many other ways, so many other times, other than what God would have them to be. But this begins their faith journey. He's saying, you do this, you find that lamb, in the evening you kill that lamb. Their very descendants, generations later, would do the same thing to a lamb who just happened to be a Jewish stonemason and carpenter. They would kill him in the evening. They would deliver him over to the Romans. The Romans would say, hey, we don't want to have any part of this. But then they would say, okay, kill him. May his blood be on the heads and the hands of our descendants, and it is today. They kill that lamb in the evening. Going on down. Verse 7, they shall take the blood of this lamb and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. You're going to kill the lamb. You're going to take its blood. You're going to anoint the blood across the top of your door and down the sides. And then you're going to eat this lamb. And I'm going to give you some side dishes for this lamb to go with it, because I'm telling the story of how I'm going to redeem you. This begins the process. And he says, while you're doing it, you be dressed and you be ready to go at a moment's or a second's notice. Hence the Exodus from Egypt. You be ready. That's where we get the Passover. And they eat the lamb shank and they have the bitter herbs that, you know, is symbolic of their wanderings in the wilderness and everything due to their sin and their stubbornness they went through. And the other parts of that too, they tell the story of redemption. On the first day of the first month, strike the blood on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses. So this is on a horizontal and it's on a vertical. Guess what? The lamb hung on a horizontal, and then he was stretched out on a vertical, and while he hanged there, he shed his blood. And that blood had a human DNA, or a human element to it, but it also had a perfect element of a lamb who was spotless. The man had no sin. So if you want to be ready and you want to be prepared for your exodus and you want to make the ultimate New Year's resolution, you in faith and you spiritually come and say, I accept Jesus and I'm a spiritually, Lord, anoint my household. Anoint me, anoint my household so that we will be found righteous. That is the greatest work of the universe, that God would do all the work and pay an indescribably high price so that we could be ready for 2025 and whatever it brings us. We don't know. God does. We do that through the blood of Christ. That death angel come in there and swept over, and where that blood was not, then babies died. And babies died. People died. But where there was blood on the top and on the sides, there was life. There was a family that was still a family. That wasn't have to burying a child or a young male. That speaks of what Jesus does. And it speaks of a new thing in a new year for us. Then it says, "In that night you'll eat the flesh. You'll roast it with fire and unleavened bread, and with it bitter herbs they shall eat it." This is the sacrament. This is the Lord's Supper here in its very early form. Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body. Drink, take ye and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant. This is the way, the best way, the only way." And he says, you do that. God says, you do that. And he gives more and more instructions there. And in verse 11, he says, you eat it, but you have your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. And then is the Lord's Passover. We do everything else in haste today. Let me develop that a little bit. We do everything else in haste today, but run to our church's altars. We do everything else in haste today, but make sure that our doorposts of our homes or our businesses or whatever they might be are consecrated to God. We have absolutely forgotten that as a society. We don't care. We don't care anymore. America's running wide open toward destruction. America is a society. We've run away from the doors of our churches. And we've ran toward all this foolishness and these deceptions that Satan has put out there. And that's why we're suffering like we are. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, and believe you me, I'm not a rocket scientist, to figure this out. And this is going to be interesting as we read more. That's the Passover. That's the beginning of Nisan. That's what you do. He says the first day of the first month, be ready. Have your clothes on. He's saying be found righteous. You people say, well, that's a bug out thing right there. Yeah, believe it is. You be found righteous. You be found clothed. You be found with the weapons of God's word written upon your heart. And be ready to move. Because you may die today. You may pass away tomorrow. Hopefully not. God's will be done in all things. We're making our own exodus, whether we want to admit it or not. We're entering a new year, but in that is a process of a preparation for an exodus. Okay? You didn't come in here today not to walk out at some point going about your life, did you? You came in here, hopefully, to get a good word from God and an encouraging word from God and a convicting word from God so you can walk out of here and say, I'm ready. The only way you can do that is come to Jesus. Let me tell you, if you've never gotten on your knees or bowed your head and prayed for Jesus to be your Savior, you're in big trouble right now. You're basically a citizen of hell until you come to this altar, until you raise your hand and say, preacher, come pray with me. Come read me the words. I believe. Show me how to believe. And by doing that, you're showing that you believe. Boy, that's what we have to prepare for. Now we're going to go over and we're going to develop this even further. Once that happens and we come to know Jesus, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 40. And we're going to see what else happened on the very first month in the very first year. Here, a couple of, maybe a year later, 2 years later. Exodus 40, 1 and 2, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses and said," here's the other application for a true New Year's resolution, On the first day of the first month, here we go again, January the 1st, Nisan the 1st, whatever you want to call it, shall you set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. He's saying, erect the church. It's the easiest way to understand it. The first day of the first month, behold the church, behold the tabernacle. He said, you put it up and you acknowledge it. First thing I would do, and I would say this to Christians all over the world, mainly here, and a lot of the ones I know, is second thing I would do, once I knew that my doorposts were anointed with the blood of the Passover lamb for us is Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, the next thing is I would do is I would go back to church. I would run back to the church house and get involved and find your gift and use it. Our churches are dying. I was talking to a fellow who's from Germany, and he says, Western faith, Western Judeo-Christianity in Germany is dead. And it's dying here. Where next? Run back to your churches and thank God for your church, whether it be whatever church God leads you to. Run back and say, Lord, thank you for putting me here. And you, when you travel like so many of you do, you're doing that. But there are so many who are, you can throw a rock and hit their house in this community. They're not faithful to God's house. That don't get you to heaven. I know that. Don't start copping out on me. That don't get you to heaven. But once we're saved, we're called to serve and be a part of a body of believers. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as so many in America in 2024 and 25 are in the manner of doing. Go back to God's house. See the children that are there. See the elderly that are there. And serve them and love them. And it's not going to be perfect. And you're not going to agree with a preacher every time or somebody in the church. But we've got to be more mature than that. First day of the first month, go back to church. Get involved. I know you can't be here every Sunday. But I know Christians that don't even come on holidays anymore. They're that deceived and they're that backslidden and they're that unfaithful in their lives. Reflect it. Let's just be honest today. Church doesn't save anybody. A lot of people are not going to make it into heaven that have been in the pews of a church. But if you're born again, you're going to be in God's house somewhere serving, or at least you should be. That is the great opportunity of this new year. He says, go back to the tabernacle. He said, put it up. And we're going to see something here that's beautiful to me. Verse 3, put the ark of the testimony, cover the ark with a veil. Then I'm going to go to Isaiah, and I didn't have this up here, but it's Isaiah chapter 45, if you want to make a note. Verse 12, listen to this. Why do we go back to our churches? Why do we make sure that we are ready, for our exodus? Why do we do all these things? Because God reminds us through the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 45:12, he says, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens. Isn't that beautiful? We come home, it might have been Christmas Eve night from my mother-in-law's, and there's other nights too, many other nights. I got out and the stars were just especially bright, and there was the Big Dipper. And the North Star, and I don't understand all the constellations, but there are trillions of stars. God stretched all those out over the earth, and he named them. They all have names. Isn't that amazing? They all have names that God knows. They're special to him. But he stretched it out in the atmosphere and in outer space and in the atmosphere over his creation. And the crown of his creation is us. And if we start living like that, then it opens up a whole new peace and I think joy and purpose for us. It's the same word in the Hebrew that was used when we read just a minute ago when God said to Moses, spread out the covering of the tabernacle. Spread out and cover your church. Allow me to spread out my arms of protection over your life. Allow me to do that. You see, We spread out by 2x4s and by plaster and by a metal roof, a cover over this tabernacle, over this church, so we can worship. And we come here hopefully to get a jolt from the Holy Spirit and to get a new unction, if you will, a new desire to go back out into a weary, lost, and dying world that drags us down, to be anointed and our spirits quickened, to go back out into the world as a representative and as a member of that tabernacle, to remind people that there is a covering and there is a protection. It started on the walls or on the doorpost and the door jams in ancient Egypt. But today it exists because the Savior allowed Himself to be stretched out, both horizontally and vertically. And what dripped from His arms and His legs and His wrists and His thorns on His head is the covering, is the protection. God said, I spread out the tabernacle of space and the stars in the sky, but I also instructed you to spread out a tabernacle. You know that the church and the tabernacle is really meant to be a replica. You know what a replica is? Of Eden. Of us being back with God. That's what Eden is in a nutshell. Is to be with God. And in order for you to be with God, you have to be found perfect. And the way to have that happen for you today, because Lord knows none of us are perfect, is by claiming the blood as our protection and as our covering. And when God looks at our lives and He looks at that date and time, whether it was in July or the first of the year or whatever, and He sees that we accepted Christ as our Savior, He looks through that red and He sees perfection. Danny, you know that God looks at you and He sees perfection? Only God could do that for you, brother. Only God. Only God could do that for me or any of you. But that's the power of the covering of the blood of Jesus. And therein lies the power for 2025. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful if you believe. That should be scary as heck if you're here and you don't believe. You've never asked Jesus to be your Savior because you're exposed on all flanks. You're not ready. I don't care how kind of money or politics you're involved in. I don't care if you're who you are. If you're not born again and covered in the blood of Christ for your righteousness, you're in a bad way. But guess what? Jesus said, I've come to make all things new. He said, I've come to make all things new. In me, you are a new creature. The old has gone. Amen? Them old drunken days, those days of not giving a hoot, those days of taking advantage of everybody you can for your own benefit, those days of no hope, no purpose, them are gone in Jesus. It takes us a process to grow in Christ. But He says the new has come. You start caring about people. You put down things that destroy your life. You look around and see what God has stretched out. You don't look at the sky anymore. People now look at the sky and everything's a drone. You know, everything's a drone. Well, a lot of us balloons. This is getting off the subject a little bit. And, you know, Satan tried to deceive people. I see a firmament and a covering that God has placed for me to live here for a little while. But one of these days, He's going to allow me to exit this place, one way or the other, one of the two ways. And the only way I'm going to exit successfully is in Jesus Christ. Because He stretched out His arms for me. And He stretched out His arms for you. That's the beauty of a new year. And it don't have to start on the 1st. I'm getting ready to give an invitation. It can start on December the 29th, 24. And man, you can get a head start on 25, amen? You can be 4 days ahead with the Lord when you walk out of here, or 5 days, or 3 days, or whatever it is. You can walk out of here saying, I didn't wait for 25, because it may not come. The trumpet might sound tonight or tomorrow night or this afternoon, or your heart might quit on you. So walk out of here today and be ready now.
Thank you so much for listening to the services from Calvary Baptist Church. To hear more of this sermon or other past services, please visit our website, calvarybcgainesville.org.
97.5 Glory FM, your family radio station in North